to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Stabilitas. It's not a word we use very often these days, but for Saint Benedict, it was the structural steel of a life well lived. Stabilitas is the concept that we as God's people need to connect deeply with another group of Christians on this journey, and then to stay faithful in that relationship, allowing it to minister deeply to us, to be used as a vehicle of transformation in our lives. Stabilitas. My wife and I just had the most wonderful 4 days together. Cheryl and I hosted two lifelong friends, Jewel and Evan Evans. They came to our farm, and we thoroughly enjoyed these special days together. They mean the world to us. I met Evan when I was in college years ago, even before I came to faith. He was raised actually in the mission field. He grew up in Vietnam, where his parents were missionaries, in a war-torn country. And when I met him in college, his story and his commitments really fascinated me. And over time, he had a great impact on my own journey toward Christ. And so we were able to spend 4 days together. We stay connected all the time through internet and Skype and other kinds of media that are available today. But it was so good to be face to face. We didn't, at one level, do anything overwhelmingly special. We went out and got ice cream. We had wonderful meals on our porch. We went for long walks. We went for a ride in the country. But what was so exciting was to sit and talk about the Lord, to share what's been happening in our lives regarding our Christian pilgrimage, to talk about our goals and our dreams, and of course our hopes that someday we'll even be able to retire close to one another to continue this lifelong journey. That's part of the context of our own stabilitas. Sherry and I have some wonderful relationships, and what's exciting about them is people that are on the journey toward Christ help us continue on our journey toward Christ. And so the question I'm going to address today is very basic, and that is, where are you letting your roots go deep within a Christian community, a community of people that are committed to Jesus Christ, so that you can move forward with them in your own journey of the Christian life? You know, I've spent a lot of years now, first as a pastor, then as a professor. And one of the things I noticed in my own life and in the lives of others, it's so easy to begin to spend less and less time with God's people. Oh, when I say that, what I really mean is less and less quality time, honest time, vulnerable time in the midst of God's people. We need that. Jesus had 12 disciples around him. Within the 12 disciples, he had three that seemed to be especially close to him. When God created the earth, he made it crystal clear that it wasn't good for a person to be alone. So Adam had Eve. And then as he begins to develop the Israelite society, he does it in such a way that a single person knew what family they were part of, what tribe, what clan, what tribe, and how they were part of the nation of God. And we live in a society that people are so mobile that we don't experience a lot of deep stabilitas. So here would be my perception on what's happening in the community of Christ. I think there are a lot of people, even those that go to church, that live in isolation. That being in a crowd doesn't mean that you're known, doesn't mean that you are deeply cherished, doesn't mean that someone's able to share their journey with you. Just strangers that really spend a lot of time walking together, but never sharing at the deepest level of who we are. Larry Crabb once wrote a great book, actually two great books on community. One is called Connecting, and the other is called The Safest Place on Earth. And in this book, Connecting, he talks about a state of disconnection. And this is what he said. Disconnection is a condition of existence where the deepest part of who we are is vibrantly attached to no one, where we are profoundly unknown and therefore experience neither the thrill of being believed in nor the joy of loving or being loved. That's disconnection. And there are so many of us who are in the body of Christ that if you evaluated, you'd have to say that to some level you're experiencing this concept of disconnection. You know people's names. You might even know where they live. You could spend some time with them in informal gatherings, but are you able to experience a level of vulnerability with them that enables you to grow deeper? That there's something about them that draws you deeper into Jesus Christ. I think it's a very important concept that we understand the vow of stabilitas, that I want to be part of a community of people that are willing to grow with one another, that are willing to experience life together, that are willing to walk out their Christian life in community. You know, the scriptures are very clear about some of these commitments we need to make to one another. Jesus said that we will be known as him by the degree to which we love one another. Well, you can't love people if you're not spending time with them. He also talked in scripture about many one another kinds of commitments, and certainly the Apostle Paul picked that up in his own teaching as he talked about the many one another's. And Jesus even went so far as to say that where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. I think this is something we need to think about. Jesus is saying, by loving one another, we will be known as his. And there's somehow that in the midst of gathering together in, if you will, stabilitas, we begin to find a new growth that happens in ourselves. As someone else is struggling and we come around them, all of a sudden it begins to address our own struggles. As someone else begins to move forward and finds a new passion and a new joy in Jesus, it can definitely ignite a new joy in our own lives. I think this is one of the reasons that Paul goes to such extent to talk about one another's, love one another, support one another, stay united to one another. And then Paul uses the body metaphor, and he talks about how intricately united the body needs to be in order to survive. There are so many great scriptures. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it talks about how two are better than one. And then he talks about a cord of three strands. I wonder about your own Christian life. Do you know where you fit within a body of people, a group of people that are willing to share their honest journey, or to use the words of Larry Crabb, that they're able to be connected to one another at the deepest place of their own being and their own existence, profoundly known, able to experience the thrill of being believed in, the joy of loving and being loved? I think community is foundational to well-being. It also can be foundational to ill health. If we're part of a community that doesn't understand how to properly walk out our relationship with one another, wow, community can be very, very toxic. Let me give you some unhealthy responses that can happen in community. One of them is when we begin to discount one another's journey. And there's a lot of ways you can discount. You can ignore it, or you can play, can you top this in someone's journey? But we're not listening enough to one another to really value where they are in Christ, what's happening in their lives, and what they need from the body. Another unhealthy response is enabling, that somehow we can enable other people's dysfunction. We serve into their own struggles. On the other side of that is rescuing, that we don't give people the support to actually work through their own struggles and their own journey. Of course, one of the most important characteristics of an unhealthy community is judging one another, to in some way speak a judgment on where someone else is in their own journey. This is very unhealthy, and I think it's one of the reasons that there are a lot of people who give up on community, because that's one of the things they've experienced. One of the things that we were talking about this weekend, Evan and I, is that even when I was struggling years ago, before I made a deep commitment to faith, he was never judgmental toward me. We played on a soccer team together. We did a lot of intramural basketball and intramural volleyball, and we were really close friends. But I was basically living outside of Christ, and he was certainly following after Christ. And yet he never judged me. Instead, his commitment to me and the connection we had with a few other people, like Don Dill, it helped me move deeper into my own relationship with Jesus. Evan and I talked about all of that, and then we talked about how today it's still important for us to be able to hear one another out, to ask each other sometimes the hard question, but to also speak the encouraging word, to capture God's vision together, to dream together, to support one another in prayer, and provide a context where we can talk out our own struggles. That's one of the most important things about community. Yeah, it's also important that we're able to spend some time talking about Scripture and the Bible and our heart for God. And boy, Evan's wife, Jewel, who we've known now for over 3 decades, she has a heart for the Lord, and she's always talking about the manifest presence of God. And it's fun that when we begin to sit together and she begins to talk about it, how it ignites our own hearts. We were having lunch together at Panera, and she started to talk about some things that happened in her ministry in Senegal and how she was praying for people. And as she began to talk about it, her face lit up and her enthusiasm rose, and pretty soon she's using her hands very emphatically. And at one point she went over and she knelt before Cheryl to put her hands on her face and said, "This is the way I was praying for that person." And I kind of looked around and was smiling because people were watching, and I thought, wow, we may have a prayer meeting breakout right here in Panera. And it was delightful. Her enthusiasm birthed my enthusiasm. Her hunger for God and the manifest presence of God, it sparks something more deeply in me. And that's the nature of Christian community. That doesn't mean we're perfect in any way, and we certainly do bump up against one another. But we've learned over the years to love each other enough to not let that get in the way of our ongoing journey to Christian community. I had a conversation just yesterday with someone that wanted a bit of my time and was sharing about their struggles and wanting to grow in the Lord. And I began to ask them some questions about their church and said, "Oh, I don't go to church." "Well, do you have a community of people?" "No, in our area, I don't really know anyone." Well, that's something I need to encourage them in, that the ability to grow also is directly related to the depth of our commitment to getting into a community of people that are sharing a journey toward Christ. Now again, it needs to be a healthy Christian community. Healthy doesn't mean perfect, but it means we understand grace. We understand being confidential. We understand encouraging, never discounting, never enabling, never rescuing, but always believing in one another. Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite authors, and in one of his books, he talked about a flow to a person's life, and he used 3 words, solitude, community, ministry. And what he said is we need to spend time alone with the Lord, and we need to listen to his voice, but then we need to come from there into community. And there in community, we're able to better understand what God's spoken to us in solitude. We're able to be encouraged. We're able to be supported. And what God said needs to be confirmed in case we are really maybe getting a little bit off of what really would be the Lord's voice. Now, instead, then from community, we move out into ministry. That connected to other people, we begin to serve the Lord and to share the gospel message and to come underneath those that are broken and hurting. But then now and said, once we do that, we need to come back into community that then moves us back into solitude. And what Nouwen was saying is there's a rhythm to our lives, time with the Lord, time with one another, time out in ministry. You know, it's been my experience, both in my own life and the lives of many other people, that Christians can begin to live in isolation, to not spend a whole lot of time quiet before the Lord, but still try to be out in ministry. And then we wonder why we burn out, why we lose passion. See, this rhythm that Nouwen talked about is a very important rhythm. And in the midst of solitude and ministry is this notion of community. Now, in a busy world like ours, where we are multitasking all the time and living in what could be called continuous partial attentiveness, it can be hard to discipline ourselves to spend time in community. But it's very, very important for us. My wife and I have had the opportunity over the years, particularly the last 3 or 4 years, to meet every other week with a group of people from our church. We celebrate by breaking bread together. We then talk about the struggles that we're having and also rejoice in the victories. And then we go into God's Word and end up in prayer. And it's a rich time. It's something that feels stable. If you will, there's a bit of stabilitas to it. This is something that's very important for us. And so I want to challenge you. Do you have a community that you're involved with where you get to discover a deeper intimacy with God, that you experience God in the midst of this community? Is there a group of people where you're safe enough to grow, to be honest, to develop as God's child, to learn more about the whole idea of your identity in Christ? Is there a group of people that helps you discover there's something more important than simply solving problems, but actually discovering God more, knowing Him more in Christ? A group of people who are able to see beneath your own brokenness, your own struggles, to the wonder of who you are? Do you have a group of people that come around you that enable you to taste Christ delighting in you, and that you can capture a vision for what God wants to be true in your life? See, this is something that I think is very important. This is why Jesus, I believe, had the disciples, why He walked this out with them, teaching them what it's like to be together, to stick it out together, to have this experience of stabilitas. On the third day that we were together, Evan, Jewel, Cheryl, and I, another couple came to spend 2 days with us, Larry Persons and his wife, Ginny. Evan has known him since boarding school in Malaysia. I've known Larry for years. And they came, and now our community of four became a community of six. And wow, we sat in our room and laughed our heads off at common stories from the past. But then we were able to spend some time together, talking not only about our shared struggles, but the vision that God has for our lives and how we can be supportive to one another. You see, Larry and Ginny are about to go back to Thailand, where they're going to serve the Lord there. And Evan and Jewel are heading off to finish their term in Senegal. And Sherry and I are here. And yet, we talked about being committed to Skyping and to using FaceTime whenever possible, committed to praying for one another and to sharing with one another this life that God has brought us into. How are you with Christian community? Are you able to name two or three people that you know would be supportive of you, pray for you, listen to you without judgment, hold in confidence your own struggles? Do you have a few people that you can be vulnerable with, and in the midst of that vulnerability, because there's so much grace, it births new life, new excitement, new encouragement? I hope you do. And if you don't, remember, we have a new geography today in our world. You can not only meet with people in your home, but you can have valuable connections by using the internet and telephones and Skype and FaceTime. A lot of vehicles to say to someone, I want to grow over the long term with you, because that's the way Christian growth happens. Now, I understand that when we're hurting, we often try to run into isolation in order to protect ourselves. But what God wants us to do is to find a safe, sacred sanctuary where people will protect us, not judge us, and begin to encourage us in our Christian life. And so I want to encourage you to begin to pray about that. If you don't have that, ask the Lord to begin to bring it. Take some initiative. Find some people that are speaking the language of faith the way you are, and then see if you can't grow with them. I know for me, the exciting part of our future is when Sherry and I begin to think that we're going to be able to have a community of people continue to encourage us and to support us and to grow with us and listen to us and be with us. Stabilitas, the structural steel of a life well lived. How's the structure of your life? I hope you can find those people. And may God bless you. And may you know that His face is shining on you.